Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I want to really tell you again, it's a pleasure to preach to you. It is. It's a pleasure. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. You don't realize how much time myself anyway. I don't know about others. I can't speak on behalf of others. But I know how much time it takes trying to put things together and listening to the Spirit of the Lord. Listening and saying, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? It's Christmas time. And people, this is probably one of the greatest times of this season. It is. You know, I looked at the bulletin, the front of it, and it just says the indescribable gift of Christmas. My God. The greatest gift that was given to mankind was the Father giving His Son for us. Now, other things had to happen, but for Him to give His Son for us, saying, I will hold back nothing. Get that in your spirit. I will hold back nothing from my people. Ooh. That's how much, we're going to read a lot of scripture, that's how much Christ, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the Father cares about you. Amen. That He didn't leave out anything. He gave His best for you and I. For you and I this day. You know, we know the scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Let's stop. We were a part of that world. It's still a part of the world. We're part of the world. Okay. Saved by grace, thank you, Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. He was saying, love me, accept me, and hell is not your place anymore. Oh, my God. My God, people. Can you imagine? If we live to 90 or 100, that's zero compared to eternity. I mean, it's a long life. You know, I remember when you were young, you looked at people that were 50, 60, 70, you're going, oh, my God, they're old. Now you're saying they're not that old anymore. No, we're not. But doing the will of God, our Father held back nothing. Zero. Zero. Because of His love for you and me. And you know what? We can look at, and we're going to get in scripture, but we can look at, December 25th. There's no possible way Jesus was born on that day. That's okay. There's no possible way. You might say, how do you know that? Because of the feast, the Passovers, all that stuff does not incline to December 25th at all, December, at all November. It probably was October sometime. But that's okay. And there's the whole scenario about who was really born, all that stuff. It does not matter to me in that respect. What matters to me is that the world, amen, stops to realize, handing them to the mother and father, okay. The world stops and realizes that Jesus was born. They might not accept Him as Savior like us, but they realize that this man, God, was born upon the earth. And a lot of them don't put Him as God, just a good man or a prophet or whatever else. But that's the difference with us. He was born and He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our God. And we're about to celebrate him being born over 2,000 years ago. And because he was born and died, that was his destination, to die. Amen. We can have salvation. We can enter in the portals of our God, of our God in heaven. My God, we have a lot to celebrate. You might say, well, you know, I have, you know, family. We don't get together. We don't do this. Don't worry about that stuff anymore. Just enjoy the time. Enjoy who you're with. Enjoy who's there. Enjoy that God has given his son for us and loves you and I so much. So much. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2. Page 1760. And we do want to welcome everyone here today that's watching from Facebook, YouTube. Last week we couldn't do it. Whoever wasn't here to be able to use the phone, it was like, oh, whatever. That's okay. That's okay. Everything works out in the end. But we do want to welcome everyone that is watching, and we hope something we say or do will touch your heart and touch your life. In Luke chapter 2, y'all see my new Bible? I know I told y'all that last week. I kind of feel important now. I mean, my gosh. Joe, be quiet. No, I do. This is a new Bible that was given to me by the Rosensterns. It is a signature Jimmy Swaggart Bible, the one that he has signed. You like to see his signature?
Yeah.
Okay, since you said yes, I'll show it to you. You might say, is that it? Lord, he needs some help. This is it right here. Make sure nobody can sign his name. No. You're right. No, but I do thank them for it. I treasure it. I treasure it, and I thank God for it. But let's get to Luke chapter 2. It says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, and all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will towards men. Here we see a picture of a Savior being born. We're going to look at a few scriptures in the Old Testament that prophesied about the Savior being born. The Jewish people are still looking for the Savior. They don't think he was born. But they've missed it. It's over 2,000 years now. And he's come. He lived 33 and a half years, has died upon the cross, and now is seated at the right hand of the Father with his mission accomplished.
Amen.
My God, mission accomplished. Praise the Lord. You see, we want to see what God has called you to do. Make sure before you close your eyes for the last time that your mission has been accomplished. Amen. You might say, well, I don't know what it is. Well, let me tell you, find out.
Yes.
We know one thing he's called us all to do is to share the gospel. But sometimes in ministry, he calls you to do certain things. Do it. Mission accomplished by you. That when you close your eyes, you know you've done everything you can to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into this world and to share what Jesus has done upon Calvary's cross. Praise the Lord. It says that while they were there, verse 6, so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. I like verse 14, and it says the angels came and they started to say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. My God. People, when Jesus came, the heavens shook. And we know, let me tell you this, we know, you know, the angel came and talked to Mary, and she became pregnant, and she was pregnant out of wedlock. And she was just pregnant by the Holy Spirit, something that has never been done before and will never be done again. Never. By the power of God. That's why the world laughs. The liberals and all these people, they laugh at Christianity thinking, you believe that? Yes, we do. Yes. Because the word says so. And it doesn't matter what the world says. What matters is what God says. Yes. And Joseph, seeing his wife pregnant. When God calls you to do something, he will take care of everything.
Amen.
Oh. They asked Mary. The Holy Spirit just didn't come upon her. They asked her, would you do it? And she said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Remember this, God will never force you to do his will. He's a gentleman. Now, he might prod you a little bit. He might prod and kick a little bit, saying, come on now, Joe, do this, do that. But God has given humanity a free will to serve him or not, or even to do his will. And Joseph, when he saw his wife, betrothed, which is, they weren't married, but it was close to it. It basically was married, but not so much had the ceremony yet. He said, oh, you know what he's thinking? She's been with another man. She's been with somebody else. Until God steps in. And people, when God steps into a situation, he changes it around. He makes it turn out for your good. He gives you and I a steadfastness, a tenacity to get the job done. Just like Joseph. Man, I look at this man and reading about him and saying, Lord, what you did in this man's life, giving him a dream and all this stuff. My God. But they were no different from us. God knows what needs to happen in our hearts and in our lives to get the job done. And God will work and move and do and be what needs to be to make things happen. You see, the Savior, now, the enemy didn't know what was going to happen. The enemy just knew he was going to be born, okay, because he saw, whatever. But he didn't know the end result of everything. See, the devil doesn't know your future. All he knows is the present time and what he hears from someone else's mouth or your mouth. That's all he knows. All he can go is by our track record, the past. That's why he always brings up the past. But he doesn't bring up the future because he doesn't know the future. Only God Almighty has the future.
Amen.
in store for us. And God will move mountains and do whatever needs to happen to make sure that we fulfill what needs to be fulfilled upon the earth. You know, I don't know, but it, you know, I know Jesus could have said no. The Son could have said no. Can you imagine that? He could have. But he didn't. And he said, I'll do what needs to happen so humanity can be reconciled back to the Father. Amen. You see, every time we obey the Spirit of God, we're bringing back humanity, back reconciling to their Father somehow, some way. So every time it's important to do what God says. You might say, well, Pastor, sometimes I don't know. Pray about it. Seek God. Ask God to give you wisdom. Seek His face more than ever before. Man, what a God we serve. Glory to God. As verse 14 says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Peace and will towards men. When Jesus came upon the earth, you know, the earth, if you want to say it, not so much the sun, S-U-N, there was light, but most of the light upon the earth was gone. God had made Adam and Eve, and they faltered and sinned, and sin entered into them and upon the earth and changed every aspect of the earth. Can you imagine living in a time where there were no hurricanes, nor tornadoes like we've seen, devastation, no floods, no wind damage, no diseases, zero. And so they had zero. Then Adam and Eve, they sinned and they disobeyed God. And because of their disobedience, we all now have to deal and fight against those evils of the world. But always remember, God has won victory upon the cross. Because of Him sending His Son for us and giving of His life for us. But after that, there was really no light. Now, you know, we can look at Daniel. We can look at the prophets. We can look at David. You can look at Solomon. You can look at all these men and women, prophetesses, that had some light in them. But the earth was still in darkness, if you want to, as far as light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, light of the Word of God. And when Jesus was born, it says in Scripture that He is the light that came upon the earth. Now look at this. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. Page 1113. Look at this. Talking about prophets. Well, talking about in the Old Testament how they prophesied about the coming of the Savior. It says in verse 14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Which means what? We know that Emmanuel means what? God with us. Good job. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. In case somebody asks you, you'll know. Okay. Here we see, here God was telling them in the Old Testament, had Isaiah write it down about the Savior that would come. Now look at just a few pages over, 11:16, Isaiah 9:6. Look at this. It says, "Is for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Wow. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. But the light has come. Now let's turn back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 15. Because I want to make sure we get this in and we read it. Luke chapter 2, 1761. Talking about the shepherds. Look at verse 15. We read all the way 14. Now let's read 15 through 20. And it said, "It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they who heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." It's an amazing thing that after Jesus was born, the angel went to the shepherds, because he is the great shepherd, and told them what was happening. And they went to see the baby Jesus at that time, the Savior of the world. We have the nativity, and we have the frankincense and myrrh and gold and all that stuff, that the gifts that were brought. That didn't happen till probably a few years later. They're talking about maybe 2 years later. But that's okay. That's okay. But it was shepherds that went and saw. That God revealed it to the shepherds. The lowliest of the lowly at that time. But you see, when God shows up, no one's lowly. Might be lowly in the eyes of man, but in God's eyes, what is God? He looks at all people evenly and says, "Do you have my blood? Do you have my son?" That's the main thing. And a Savior was born. Praise the Lord. The light of the world came into the world. Look at John 9:5, which is 1865. The Savior of the world. My God. 1865. John 9:5 says this, "As long as I am in the world," talking about Jesus and his earthly ministry, "I am the light of the world." As long as he was upon the earth, he was the light of the world. Now I want you to turn to John 8:12, which is a few pages before. Look at 8:12. It says, "Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So here we see, and then we can turn to 1 John 1:5. Jesus is saying he was born. The light came into the world. Amen. You know, you have a dark room, and you go and you just take your phone light or a candle, and it just lights up that room. You see, the light of the gospel, the light of Jesus. He is the light of the world. The light of the world. Go to 1 John, that next scripture, please. 1 John 1:5. Then it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Oh, my Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank God he came. The light that came into this world. Hallelujah. Because without the light, we all stumble and fall, and darkness is upon the earth. You know, that's why they call the dark ages. Those dark ages years ago. Hundreds of years of darkness, not just darkness of the gospel, the dark ages. You look back in the scripture where it talks about hundreds of years where there were no prophecies. There was zero coming out of the throne room of heaven. Ooh, we don't want that. We want God to be with us and to help us. And when Jesus died upon that cross and was taken out of here after 33 and a half years, that light was taken out. I know you might say, well, didn't he leave a part of himself? Yes, he taught his disciples and did this and did that. But something happened. Now, instead of him being the light, we are the light. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And we got to shine bright upon the earth. We cannot become dull. We cannot let the light out. We have become the light because of the Jesus Christ and him living inside of us. Him in us. He makes us a great treasure. He makes us valuable because of what he did and because of who he is. The light has come into us. And that means God is working in us to make us brighter than ever before. Our world is in darkness. But because the church has been dulled down and is not standing for much anymore and has gone to the wayside almost, God is saying, church, come on. Bright, shine bright. Stand for what is right. Stand for what is truth. Stand. I mean, you look at half the church, doesn't even believe Jesus is coming back. You're going, oh my God, Lord. You want to say, Lord, leave them. Because who wants to be in heaven with a bunch of doubters anyway? But God says we're to love. And so we do that. You know, so we get over that a little bit and you say, okay, no. Now, I'm not saying you have to believe when he's coming, but you need to believe he's coming. That he's coming for his church. You see, we got to stand firm and have light emanating out of us. We got to stand for truth and what is right. Now, that doesn't mean arrogancy. And that doesn't mean we don't do it in love, but to stand for what is right. You know, Christmas is coming up. You know, a few years ago, I had to chuckle on my route. You know, there's a lot of Christian people and da-da-da-da. And I know this one couple came out and she goes to church and he doesn't. And so, you know, he said, oh, yeah, her pastor, and I know the church. I know it. They don't know that I'm a pastor. You know, I just don't preach that. I don't. I'm a Christian. Now, people will say, whatever. I don't shy behind that at all. I'm, if you want to say proud of that, thank you, Lord, that you've called. But you know what? It was during Christmas time. He said, yeah, her pastor said that she can drink a glass or two of wine. And I just looked at them like, I said, oh. Yeah, you know, it's wrong most of the time, but her pastor says she can drink. I think he said one or two. I'm not sure which one. A limit. That's okay. That's not sin. Wow. And I thought, oh, my God. I didn't say nothing. Because, you see, you have to be careful. Yeah. Because they were not asking for my opinion. Yeah. Or what I thought. He was just stating it. And I said, Lord, you know alcohol is not good in any form. Everybody's okay with that? You know that, huh? How many people have been killed because of drunk drivers? You might say, well, the Bible says a little wine is, you know, so, taking it out of context. People stay away from that stuff. It only takes one glass or one drink to make you an alcoholic. Because you're going to like the way you feel. Probably. I hope not. And your body's going to crave that stuff. Don't do it. Stay away from it. You know, but I thought it was just ironic. It just chuckled me. I mean, I just like, oh my God, pastors really say this kind of garbage? Well, you know, the day before it's sin, but the day of it that they say you can have it, it's not. Wait. How about this? You know, and there's all kind of other stuff that happens. But people, we're the light of the world. Do you think, now this guy is not so much a Christian, does not go to church, but his wife goes. He laughed and said, I can't believe this. I mean, it just, and I thought, no light. Zero. Zero. We are the bearers of that light now. Jesus is gone as far as in heaven, bodily, you know. We are the light. He lives in us. We are the light. Let our light shine. Yes. Let that, and you know, I talk about how, but it can be all kinds of stuff, whatever, okay? I don't like to nitpick about stuff like that because this is how I feel. If the Holy Spirit can convict you or me, how can I? Now, you know, but let, we are bearers of light. And people are watching, especially during this time, saying, how do they live? What do they say? What do they say? What do they do? What did Jesus do while he was here? He fed the 5,000. He fed the 3,000. He preached to them first. He healed their bodies. The blind man, he healed his eyes. The leper, he healed his legs. The body, the sores. God preached the gospel of his Father. We are to share the gospel and be the light of the world now today. That they shouldn't see as, you know, staggering out of bars and all kinds of stuff. You know, somebody said, well, Joe, would you go in a bar if, you know, whatever? I said, this is what I would do. If one of you called me that your spouse was in there, and a man, if you want to say it, you know, Jolene and I would probably go in, both of us go in. But, and they needed some help, I'd walk in. Now, I wouldn't participate in any of that stuff, but I would walk in to go get that soul. That I would do. That. But to participate in all that junk and evil, no way. No way. We have been taken out of darkness and brought into the light. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect. No, no, no. But it does mean there are some things that need to be taken care of, and we're to live in that light. See, I can't understand a couple living together after they're born again. That floors me. I know there's conviction. Has to be. Get things right. Get things right. You know? Just, we are to live as the possessors of light in us, emanating that light to the world by our forgiveness, by our love, by how we live, how we give, what we do, where we go, you know, asking God to lead us and guide us because we are that light now. Jesus is gone as far as in heaven, but he still lives in us. Let's give out that light to the world. Glory to God. Goodwill towards all men. Peace be upon the church and family. Let the power of the Spirit of God. I mean, look, I won't see you probably again till next Sunday or so. And I hope every one of you has a great Christmas. I mean, I'm telling you that this would be the best year for you. See, you can make it the best, or you can not make it the best. What is our attitude towards it? You know, I ran into someone and I gave them their mail, and it was a lady. She came out. I said, by the way, Merry Christmas. You know what she told me? She said, I hate Christmas. And I looked at her like, lady, is there a problem? There's a problem. But she just said, I hate the holidays. I hate Christmas. And you know, the amazing thing is, in her yard, she'll have He is Risen and all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? And you know, and I said, you know, just look to Him. Look to Him. Probably because it could be the time of, you know, around somebody's, could be a death. You know, it could be maybe somebody was hurt around that time or whatever it is. But I tell you what, it floored me. And I said, just keep your eyes on Him. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You know. So you see, let's be the light bearers that God has called us to be now. Because Jesus is gone, but He lives in us. And the world needs to see a difference in us. Now, hey, will we all make the right decision all the time? I can tell you now, no, it won't happen. But at least we have our faith in Him, and He can lead us and guide us. She's watching me. Oh, somebody laughed and turned her around. She has some good ears. Oh, and a good pair of lungs. Amen. But keep your eyes upon Him during this time. Keep your eyes upon Him. Not right now, but maybe in a little bit. Thank you, though. But keep your eyes upon Him and Him alone. Okay? During this time. When you start to feel like, oh, I don't know. You know, you're thinking, you know, and it's hard, especially Christmas, if you had big gatherings and people are gone. And I say gone, I mean not here anymore. You know what I'm saying? That you think. But think about the good, people. Think about the good. In everything, we can look at the glass half full or half empty. How are we looking at it? And that determines our attitude and how we look at it. Look, our Savior came as a man, as a baby first, lived as a man, died upon the cross to give us freedom and liberty through Him. So we can be reconciled back to Him. Thank Him Saturday. I think Saturday is Christmas. Thank Him that morning. Thank the Father. Say, Father, thank You for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank You for being born and willing to come and giving Your life for me. You see, I'm telling you, if you do that, it will change your attitude throughout the day because of who He is and who our God is. And thank You again, before I close, for the gift, y'all. I was totally surprised, I'll be honest with you. We both were. It's like we don't... Thank You, though. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your tenderness towards us. Thank You for helping us to succeed in this area. Thank You for Your support. And I pray the blessings of God upon your life and upon your heart. That God would thank You again. Thank You again. And I pray you have a great Christmas. The greatest Christmas that you've ever had before. Amen. Since the beginning of time. For you. For our lives. Amen. Would you please stand? Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Praise You, Lord. I want to ask you a very important question.